Blog Talk Radio.
Back on with you all again tonight. And before we dive into tonight's subject, which is something we all should be talking about, I would like to give you something to listen to with me. Call it a reminder. Call me. Call it a history lesson. So sit back, relax, and listen with me for a few minutes, and I'll be back with you.
History. On this day, 12009, seemingly roots grow tall like vines. For on this day, history has been made. For all pain and struggle should be buried in the grave. History is today. To have seen it in such a beautiful way. Millions of people stand around to a man with powerful word of sound. At the top of the land to have a king, I pledge to say I have a dream. History, a great inspiration that builds up the nation throughout generations. As a black man to stand proud and free, that steadily keeps building up his family tree. A black president, we ask, how could this be? It's the faith in God that dwells on thee. From a small place to a big valley, his shall come in such a great rally. From a small river to a big ocean, his shall flow with such a great motion. History is today, no matter circumstance or situation. History is here to stay, a bad man in a bad situation. Success is screened for our nation. Barack Obama, an achieving man, our 44th president, yes we can.
chance. Oh, and just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Are you thinking about getting your GED diploma? Well, here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a number of pep talks that can motivate you.
Sometimes things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
You know that feeling? People look at you and don't believe in you.
You want some gentle encouragement. Then you're on your way to your GED diploma and a better life.
But I know you're probably just a little bit nervous. You can find it in yourself to take that first step.
You can improve your future.
You can do this. I know you can.
You need to start pushing yourself.
Now get your game face on and take the first step towards a better life.
Hurry up. Don't make me repeat myself.
Whatever level of motivation you need to get your GED diploma, we've got a pep talk that's right for you. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your pep talk and find free GED classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Your host, Black Coffee, and your co-host, me, The Next Level, on WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio. We're coming to you every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be keeping you up to date on current events and love and relationships. No chasers, no fillers. This is definitely classy grown folks radio, y'all. So tune in, or if you want to get involved with the conversation or just listen, call in at 516-387-1251. Black coffee, y'all. So sweet, she don't even need no sugar.
Good evening, everyone. Again, I would like to first start off by saying our usual co-host, Next Level, is not able to join us tonight. So, ladies, unfortunately, you're stuck with my voice, and I hope it's just as soothing. I want to start off by saying that the subject that we're on tonight is very important to all of us. I have my own opinions. I have my own opinions, but I am not going to be touting my opinions tonight. I just want to talk about the importance. And the importance of this topic is our vote and does it count? We've seen a lot going on in the news in the past week, well, past weeks. It has been going on for a while, but recently it has gotten even deeper, honeys. So first off, I would like to have my folks that are on the line introduce themselves to begin this conversation, and then I will give you an update on what you can expect tonight. So who do we have listening and contributing tonight? First off, 229-291, introduce yourself.
Adrian Woods, Albany, Georgia. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and Black Coffee. Wanted to just put my input in there tonight about the voting process and whether it matters or not. I think it does.
This is everyone's business we're talking about tonight, so right. Anyone who would like to call in and contribute, I welcome all contributors. And 229-881, can I hear from you?
Good evening, Black Coffee and the rest of the callers. This is Victor. I missed last week's show, but I'm back this week because I'm interested in this topic, especially since I have someone that helped groom me through my high school that's going to be on here tonight. So I'll be doing a lot of listening.
Wonderful, wonderful, and I'm glad to have you back. It was
thank
something
you.
Missing last week from last week's show. So,
thank you.
I also want to introduce our executive producer. I want her to have her. I want to have her introduce herself. This is a topic that's important to everyone at WAMR-DB, and she has something vital she would like to add as well. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, good evening, everyone. Everybody can hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to just read a quote that I pulled up that's on our show page. It says, "Change will not come if we wait from some other person or some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek." That came from our current president, President Barack Obama. It's so important that we get out and vote. I really appreciate Jackie Black Coffee's vision and does your vote really count this election 2016. We try to be bipartisan on the show because we just want to provide a lot of input. But no matter which way we vote, it's important that we do vote. And it's important that the process has been exercised because a lot of people fought and died for this time in our lives. So, we truly are blessed to have Black Coffee's vision in pursuing this topic tonight. So I'm very interested in that as well. And I also want to give a broadcast shout-out to our sponsor, Loving Care Chiropractor, Dr. Elmy Hornbuckle Preston. She is having her 10th anniversary grand opening tomorrow. It's free giveaways from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at Loving Care Chiropractor at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 3083. Y'all come out. It's very important that we show love and respect to our young black female and male business owners who are creating economic development. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in, because if you know anything about the history of Stone Mountain, 30 years ago, wouldn't be no black doctors in Stone Mountain. You know, matter of fact,
that's for sure.
So, you know, I just want to be real clear about this. I mean, we as a people have come so far. And join her for this grand opening. This is a young black female doctor that is always supported the community. I just want to read something she put down and just to let you know where her mind is. It's so important that people take God with them as they find the latter. She says, "My God's grace, mercy, and favor has allowed Loving Care Chiropractor to see 10 years in practice and a new location. Please celebrate with us October 15th as we celebrate all of his goodness, free food, and free giveaways." Most people don't do that. Most people get up that ladder, y'all, and they forget. And so it's important that, you know, I just kind of want to be a part of the conversation as well as letting people know what's going on in our community here in Stone Mountain as we broadcast live from the home studio at WAMRDB. So I've taken up a lot of y'all's time. We're going to dive into this. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you so much, Karima. Karima had to come on and give that disclaimer because she recognizes the fact that my mouth is flipped. So, you know, I'm probably going to end up putting my opinion out there. But she had to give the disclaimer to WAMRDB because, you know, they might not have the same political slant that I do. And I also, at this point in time, I also want to, at this point in time, thank Karima gave Black Coffee credit totally for the idea for this show. But I do want to thank Mr. Ken Rand for giving me the idea for this show. It blossomed something within me that caused the burning in my bones that had to come out. So I want to thank Ken Rand for giving me that idea. Now, I want to start off, you guys that are on, I had a man tell me not too long ago, and he was trying to date me, but he told me not too long ago that he didn't believe his vote counted and that he wasn't going to vote because no matter who the president was, he was going to wake up the next morning and still have to go to work. Needless to say, I'm not dating him, but because some things I just can't deal with. But also, I heard someone say to me they are afraid to vote because they might get called for jury duty. I have heard all kinds of excuses for why people won't get out and exercise their right to vote. And I have to tell you all, it's kind of pissing me off. And instead of getting angry and degrading people when I get pissed off, I like to talk things through. How about y'all? How did what I just told you make you feel, Victor and Adrian? Whichever one wants to jump in first.
Well, Victor can go ahead.
You want to know if you told me some of those excuses that you've been getting from people, what would my reaction be?
Yes.
Well, I have a gentleman who works with me at my job, and we had a conversation. We've had several conversations about different political issues. In particular, we talked about voting not so long ago. And he's one that's not going to vote. He's told me that, and he's expressed to me that he's not going to vote, but he wants to give his opinion on the candidates. whether it's good or bad, whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And what I told him was the same thing that they told me when I was coming up about voting. If you're not going to vote, then don't say anything, you know. So when people start to talk and they're not going to vote, so I promptly tell them to shut up or stop talking to me. Because if you don't vote, then you don't have a voice. And we've our ancestors have worked so hard, and they've suffered so much to give us just the right to vote. That's a reason enough to vote in itself. Outside of the fact that whoever wins, you know, there's a lot of, you know, pushing and shoving, and who wins, that's fine, whether it's your candidate or another. But to vote in itself is the privilege that our ancestors fought for us to be able to do. So in respect for them, that is the main reason that I'm going to vote. I want my candidate to win, but more so I want my ancestors to be proud of what they've accomplished and given us the chance to vote. So I don't take kindly to excuses. I'm about like you, Black Coffee. I don't take, you know, those excuses very well when people tell me that they're not going to vote for various reasons. There is no reason not to vote.
Amen. Amen. Adrian, how about you?
Well, I feel exactly the same way. My grandmother used to say you have to be smaller than what you hide behind. And when you hide behind crookedness and politicians who don't really care and bills that fall below our expectations, then you're hiding behind something smaller than you are. And we have to move forward. I mean, there, you can either hinder something or help something, and the vote is supposed to help. We don't have a lot to fight with, but we do have that. And whatever you have to fight with, you fight with it. And someone comes to your house in the middle of the night, you don't get mad because all you can find was a hammer. You use whatever you got. And you have to use the tools that you have to fight the battles that we have to fight. And the vote is one of those tools that we have. And anyone who does not want to use it to mean, it falls short of the expectations of all of our ancestors and the ones who fought and died and who held our police dogs. And we've all seen the videos. We've all seen the excuse me, the water hoses and all that. So we should not stop short of what these people are trying to accomplish. And we know we don't have much as a people, but we should try to use what we have to fight the system, to grow the system, to better us and to better us just as a people and as a nation. Because it's not just for white people. And a lot of people think that this whole process is just for white people. But if it was just for white people, believe me, they wouldn't have wanted it, because they wouldn't have needed a system if it was just them. They have to go along with this system because this system was voted into place. And it's conclusive. So I say use what we have, and that's what we have.
I agree completely. This is Karima. You know, people say that only the electoral vote counts, but it's also a sound check for the senators and the congresspeople that we send
right to
Congress, because in their district, if you know, those numbers are clearly going to let them know, I may not be here next year. You know,
exactly.
And it does give a ticker tacker for the people that, like you said, the ones who sleep and hide behind certain types of things, passing certain kind of laws. You know, it's important that we understand the process in which we are established, and that's one of those. You know, the electoral votes do count to become president, but just like we messed up in the last election, and, you know, we have, you know, a very, we lost a lot of our, a lot of seats to people who don't think like us, and that's the way, or think like the majority.
Right.
And this is why you've had filibusters with the president and, you know, him moving, trying to move things in the last 8 years and them stopping them. So this vote really does count. you know, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, either we go with Willie Lump Lump or we go with Willie Lynch.
Well, I want to clarify a few things. First of all, I want all of us to understand that yes, the Electoral College does count. However, the Electoral College is driven by the popular vote. Okay, so it does matter that we're voting. People get confused on that issue. It does matter that we vote, number one. Number two, the past 8 years should have taught us something. When President Obama was first elected, he asked all of us to turn out in the same numbers to vote for our senators, our local government, our state, local, and U.S. Senate members. To vote in those same numbers. And in my opinion, we let him down because we did not show up. And that was why he was fighting the battle he was fighting. A lot of us expected to him to walk in and, because he's president, say it's going to be this way. And it turns out that way. But, honey, let me tell you, just like Schoolhouse Rock taught us, it's three branches of government, okay? And they all are dependent on each other. They are all dependent upon each other. And what is brought about through this, speaking of those three branches, we failed President Obama, and I will continue to say it, in his fight to do anything by not showing up in those same numbers. Number one. Number two, we're looking at now the possibility of all three branches of government being run by people who don't think like us. We already have a Congress that is had made a declaration, no matter what, good, bad, or ugly, you oppose whatever President Obama bring up. Okay, so we already got that. The second thing is that right now, the President Obama, as a sitting president, has been the first president to be blocked from appointing a Supreme Court nominee. Why do you think that is? People say it's just because he's black. People say it's just because he's black, but it goes deeper than that.
Yes,
it goes to the point that if I hate to even speak his name because sometimes it's like calling up the devil, but Donald Trump is elected.
Ooh, Lord,
he will be a Republican president who is able to appoint a Supreme Court justice who is conservative. Now, what that means is the Supreme Court will also be Republican-led if that occurs. And what will happen is when issues like voters' rights comes before the Supreme Court, a conservative Supreme Court, a conservative Supreme Court will eliminate our voting rights or make it harder for us to vote under the guise of voter fraud. When things like, and see, I'm fixing to touch some people real life now, y'all pardon me while I preach, but when people take things like wearing their natural hair and their historic hairstyles such as dreadlocks, braids, afros, when they get fired for doing that and they fight it all the way to the Supreme Court, what do you think the Supreme Court is going to say? So
these are things.
These are things that truly affect us in our daily lives. So people have to, we have to look at the broader picture. It's not just the fact that.
You know what, Jackie, Black Coffee, you know that's absolutely true because that's just happened.
Sure is.
In a state Supreme Court where they're actually saying that it's okay for an employer to discriminate or to determine that having dreadlocks is not a part of the business model or appearance of the company, and they have a right not to hire. So you're it's not like hypothetical. You push the
button.
She's not
making it up.
Because I'm not cutting my dreads. I'm sorry. Man.
And they've been doing it overseas up until now. There's a lot of countries that discriminate against people who wear dreadlocks, who wear their natural hair, who are forcing women to straighten their hair to fit the business model. And they want that over here. I mean, they're doing it in London. So it's not that far away.
And all types of things.
That's old America.
All types of things the Supreme Court is going to have to make decisions on. So if we have all three branches of government that are controlled by people who do not think like us simply because we sat home and did not show up at the polls,
right. Then
I'm sorry, we deserve everything we – well, y'all do because I'm going to be down on the beach in Costa Rica if he get elected. I'm sorry. I'll holler at y'all. I'll holler at y'all. I'll be down there wearing an ill-fitting bikini, selling drinks on the beach.
Well, Jack, hopefully we won't go back to 1870. And if you know your history lesson about voter rights, it started in 1870, right? And it took 90 years for us to get an amendment, to get the Voter Rights Act in 1965. That's 90 years. And during those 90 years, we were under just what you're saying, you were indicating when you were talking, Jack, that's what we don't want to go back to, where although we have the right to vote, we have different entities and government and cities and, you know, local governments that put all of these stipulations, like during the time from 1870 to 1965, where if you went to vote, you had a poll tax, knowing that, and they put that there, knowing that the blacks at that time couldn't pay a poll tax, so they were not allowed to vote. Those are just things that they were putting in place because they knew it would hinder us from voting. And also, they would put a literacy test in front of you when you came to the poll and say, pass this test. Now, what people don't know, although we were required to do that for 90 years until until 1965, we were told that we had to do that in order to qualify to vote. Okay? But the whites were grandfathered into the system, meaning that they didn't have to undergo that. So we want to get the history lesson out of the way real quick, if you don't mind. That is the sort of thing that we often forget that we had to undergo, or our ancestors had to undergo and get past in order for us to get to where we are right now. And those literacy tests were changed. You could go in there to take one, couldn't take it, leave out, come back, and they would have a new one there. So you couldn't tell somebody what was on it. It would change that quick. So, we have to get out in those numbers in order to continue to make sure that doesn't change. And that's what getting out voting really means, is to make sure that they understand that we're going to get out and vote in numbers so that you don't revert back to the things that you were doing before while we're not looking.
And Victor, along those same lines, the things that are being done to violate people's rights. Now, please understand,
Exactly.
I am all in favor of protecting our country. I truly am. But whenever you start painting things with a broad stroke,
uh-huh.
whenever you start painting a people with a broad stroke, then you are in jeopardy of risking everybody else as well. Not just you can sit back while it happens to somebody else, but how long do you think it's going to be before it gets to you?
Absolutely.
And the current voter ID law was put in place.
That's what I was going to talk about.
supposedly to stop voter ID fraud. How much of a percentage do you think? How much of a percentage of voter fraud over the past 10 years do you think there's been?
A very small percentage. It's been a very small percentage of the people that they say are involved in voter fraud. The people who are actually involved in voter fraud is on the other side of the spectrum. They're not the people that they're saying are you know, involved in it. So we know who's involved in it.
Yeah, we all remember
George,
Chad.
The one who are being accused.
The George Bush and
Chad.
Chad.
That's right, the Chads. We remember those.
So it's been very recent. It's been very recent that they have used these tactics to stop people from voting. I mean, there's stories over and over again about elderly people who were held against voting because they couldn't find their birth certificates, and you need a birth certificate to get a license. So there's been so many tricks used to stop people from voting and having the right to vote. So I just do not agree that it's okay to just sit back and let people decide our fate. If
exactly.
I have an opportunity to decide my own fate, I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
If it's taken away, then God help us all. But until then, I'm going to make of my own fate. And that includes voting.
Amen. And I want to invite in, we were just talking about the issues of the natural hairstyle, and I would like Yanni to speak up and introduce herself and tell you guys a little bit about who she is, what she does, and why voting is important to her. Yanni, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, everyone. My name is Yanni, known to the world as Yanni Red. I am, let me just get my sound together here. I am I'm a licensed cosmetologist who teaches people how to do dreadlocks. That's my way to get them to entrepreneurship, so they're not relying on a job or, anything else to be able to take care of their lives. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what I do. My standpoint on voting is I understand, we must get out and vote, but I think more importantly, we must, before we actually get out and vote, we need to address what our issues are. I think a lot of times why people do give up on voting is because they don't see any politicians that kind of represent them, you know, and especially with the presidential election now, a lot of black people are, what I hear anyway is that they're saying they're going to opt out because it's like voting for a lesser of two evils. So, you know, maybe just getting the issues out or the points where they stand are better than to just throw two candidates out and say, you know, vote for one. I think that's, just some of the barriers that are keeping people from voting, basically.
I agree.
And you're absolutely right, Yanni. One of the things that we need to understand is that we can have control over our local and state with people we can reach out and touch
right.
if we get out and vote. I was going to have, and I don't think she'll be able to make it this evening, someone in from Albany, Georgia, who is now on the Daugherty County School Board. And the two of the people on the line will know who I'm talking about when I say this name. And I want to tell you a little bit about what happened with her. Her name is Geraldine West Hudley. And she ran for an at-large seat on the Daugherty County School Board. Mm-hmm. At one point in time, she was behind in the polls, behind someone who had not invested in Daugherty County Schools. See, what you need to understand is all three of us on this phone, I believe, Ms. Hudley, she invested in all of us, did she not?
Yes.
Yes, she certainly did.
Yes,
she is a dynamic teacher that has always cared about the children in Daugherty County to the point where there are many of us up here in Atlanta and all over the United States. If that name is mentioned, we're coming. And when we found out about her run for office and what was going on, and actually, she just let me know, y'all, she'll be calling in at 9:50. So this is a wonderful introduction to her, for her. But we got together and started a grassroots campaign. And all of a sudden, the race turned around. And to my mm-hmm. two friends who are in Daugherty County, what is she now?
She is on the school board. Absolutely.
Yes.
Because getting out and voting changed the face of that election.
And they turned out.
Exactly. Word got out about what it was she was trying to do. And it made a difference. So instead of having someone who was not invested in the community in that spot, there is someone who is trusted, well-loved, and has proven herself over the years in that seat. So that's an example how on your local level, voting can truly make a difference. Now, if we begin there and move up as we go, we can't work from the head down, y'all.
No.
We can't work from the head down. So okay. I would like Yanni, I know you're still on the line, and we have brought up the subject of the dread situation. Could you give us more information about what natural hairstyles are facing at this point if we get another conservative judge on the Supreme Court?
What it is most, and the reason for the natural hair revolution, as I'm going to call it right now, is because as black consumers, you know, we're dealing with a lot of marketing. We're dealing with an industry that caters mostly to Caucasian hair. And the fact that cosmetology school is designed to teach you how to do straight hair, it makes it where it's like having your hair in a natural state is not even considered professional. And so in a lot of states now, they are starting to give natural hair licenses separate from cosmetology licenses because as the natural phenomenon grows, and I don't really want to call it a phenomenon, it's actually like we're just going back to what we were normally, you know. As it grows, people are not wanting to deal with chemicals. So they're getting to the point where they have to separate cosmetology from natural hair. But, like I said, it's considered not professional to wear your hair in some of these styles. But what's also happening is that many women and men alike are taking hair as their profession, and a lot of them are doing locks. So I just think that it's kind of silly because with how many people actually are wearing locks, it's like saying that we don't want 50 million employees to be in our workplace. You get what I'm saying? To say that you know, that they can't wear locks. And I think, too, what it is that they just don't understand that because it's like it's a choice. You know what I mean? Your hair doesn't have to be locked. But they don't get that it's, you know, it's just as natural to us as having hair grow out of our head or anybody's head. So, you know, one, this happened in Alabama 5 years ago. And so what happened was the company the lady was applying for, they basically told her, you know, that they would hire her if she hadn't have had the dreads. And they said because they tend to get messy. And so what she did was appeal their decision in federal court, and the company won. And so, you know, it hasn't been done nationally yet, but we're just saying, you know, with that one verdict of saying that it's okay to discriminate, how much more of this, you know, what is that going to snowball into? You know what I mean? And then not to mention the fact that it would, or it may actually affect how many people are becoming entrepreneurs through this field. But one thing, you know, one thing about it is that people who do wear dreadlocks, there's a strengthening that happens as you lock your hair, that they're like, I'm not going to take my locks out for a job. I'll just get another job. Or, you know, as we say, a lot of people are choosing entrepreneurship just for reasons like this, you know.
Exactly. You know. And, you know, with her having taken this before the federal court, the next step would be the Supreme Court. Am I correct?
I believe so.
And if we are sitting there with a conservative judge majority when she goes before that court, her chances are slim and none.
Wow. Well,
so
I mean, it's just one company. I honestly don't believe that is really going to affect too many companies, because there are many more companies that will accept, you know, employees who have dreadlocks than not, I believe. So,
and there are
sure.
a lot of companies now that are moving towards diversity. So,
yeah,
I think the chances of it happening may not be as great, but just the idea that it could happen is scary, because this is supposed to be a free country. It's supposed to be a country of diversity and freedom and the right to be who you are, and pursue whatever form of happiness you want to pursue.
If they are grooming themselves, because, I mean, let's just say you don't have locks and you're just a Caucasian with straight hair and you want to come to work with your hair all wild, that's a problem, too. So I didn't really view this as too much of a problem, and that's another reason why I do what I do, which is style locks in different ways, because, I mean, I look at them, they just like big hair strands. Every hairstyle that you can get with a relaxer or a perm or braids or whatever, you can get with locks. So, and I mean, don't get me wrong, a lot of white people, when they see locks in a style, they don't know what's in your hair. They don't even think it's your hair. They're asking, what is that? Is that your hair? Is that extensions? How did you get your hair like that? So they kind of don't really know. I think that they just have this view in their head that if you say dreadlocks, it's somebody with 5 big things sticking out that's dirty, that's, you know what I mean? So we really work on educating people. But I will tell you, the other thing is that this is not a black thing, because dreadlocks are worn by every single nationality. You know, we have Chinese people, we have white people, we have everybody wearing dreads. If you go back to, you know, biblical times, they were even wearing dreads then. So it's not, I don't think that this is going to get blown too far out of proportion before it becomes a global problem, because this one I can say is not really a black issue. I think that because people work from fear a lot, that, you know, they're kind of spreading this. And I was also going to get some business owners together that will stand and say, you know, I'm not going to discriminate against people with locks, because I think that a lot is, you know, focused on the problem and what could happen. But if we just focus on a solution, who will hire these people? You know what I mean? Who? What are you?
I have several people with dreadlocks on my staff, and I have no problem with it. I would gladly stand and say that people's hair is their hair, and what difference does it make? And I have had pressure by people. We were in the events company, and presentation is everything. And
right.
I have had people ask me, can he do something about the dreads? Can he put a hat on? Can he? And I'm like, if it's not interfering with his job and if it's not interfering with this event, I'm sorry to tell you, you're going to have to take that up with someone else. Because I just need to know what it interferes with. And if I don't see what it's interfering with, then we don't have to talk about that.
Right.
We have nothing to discuss.
Dreadlocks have that
stigma, you know, when you attach the word dread to anywhere.
Right.
It just has that stigma of fear. And I don't know
exactly
what the fear is. But
the fear is that I'm black and I'm standing up for my blackness. And here's my blackness in your face. that's what the stigma is. And you don't want my blackness in your face. Just
and
like
you
they
know,
say, I don't want your gayness in my face. It's the same thing. You're just being yourself, but to them, you're throwing it in their face.
Okay. I want to interrupt for just a second. This is getting good. But we have a special guest on the phone. We have the newly elected school board member that I am so proud to call a mentor of mine, Ms. Geraldine West Hudley out of Albany, Georgia, the Daugherty County School Board.
Yes.
Hi, Ms. Hudley, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Ms. Hudley.
Good evening, Mother.
Hello, how are you?
I got two more of your former students on this phone.
You heard what I called her, Jack. I called her mother.
Among thousands.
I know, right? She has been a mother to hundreds.
Go right ahead.
I was going to say right quick, before we move on, I want to give Ms. Hudley the floor because unfortunately we're only on until 10 tonight, but I really want to hear from you, Ms. Hudley, about for these last few minutes, I want to hear about how voter turnout changed things for you.
Well, frankly, we had determined that 10,000 votes would be needed in order for us to win this seat of service on the board. And we went straight to the people of the county. And they responded, I believe, positively because 12,000 plus voted. Now, we are not really excited over the turnout. We are happy about that. But we know that of all the voters we have in Daugherty County, we can make a more powerful statement than that. Voting is extremely important because it's our voice. It's your voice. You're voiceless when it comes to participation in government. If you make that decision to not vote, and guess what? When you don't vote, you still vote in actuality. Because when you have not had your say, you've given everybody else an opportunity to say for you. I
Amen.
Vote every election because I'm duty bound by those who sleep in the grave to vote. Too many who never got the chance to vote, and some who died trying. Very quickly, I'm reminded always of Jimmie Lee Jackson of Alabama. Jimmie Lee Jackson was trying to get registered to vote. He had tried for quite some time and was not able to do it. He was really working to not only secure the opportunity to register to vote for himself, but for his 82-year-old grandfather and his mother, Ms. Viola Jackson. He was shot down in Alabama, killed for simply trying to register to vote. When I think about Mrs. Amelia Boynton, who recently died at the age of 104, Mrs. Amelia Boynton Robinson and her husband, Mr. Samuel Boynton, organized efforts to get people to vote in Alabama way before the civil rights movement got there, before they got to Selma. And I think she organized a group. But because of those who understood how important it was for us to raise a voice, raised and came is one thing. Complaining is one thing. But you have no complaint if you haven't raised a voice by way of the vote. I'm reminded
Amen.
Of a bishop who recently shared that his professor, during the days where you had the levers that you would pull down to make your vote, said that he voted twice in every election, once with his right hand for his mother who could not, and once for his left hand for his father who could not vote. And so for all of the saints who came before us, all of the warriors, all of the soldiers of service who labored, I will be eternally grateful and showing that gratitude by voting. I am excited for the young people who embraced our candidacy. And I don't allow people to talk negatively about young people if they haven't raised a hand to help them.
Amen.
They cannot tell me, oh, they're not going to vote. I say, says who? Have you had an opportunity to talk with them? Have you shared with them the facts that you know about the candidates? Have you pointed them in the direction of securing reputable information? As a voter, I don't watch the sensationalism and the interruption of my peace on man-made television, man-created and embellished television. I read several sources. And I'm careful about what I read. All of that is important. It's nothing like
Amen.
An informed populace, an informed voter. The reason public education was established in the first place was because, well, by virtue of the old Massachusetts diluter law. The old diluter law of Massachusetts supported initiated public education because it was the desire for the citizens to be able to read the Bible, believe it or not. And I know I have gone on and on. But let me
Ms. Hudley, before we go on, before I close out right quick, I just want to let you know that there will be a second part to this series, and I am inviting you back. Please come.
Well, I shall surely work to be back. But we've
I will get with you at a later time and discuss the schedule. And all
okay.
I can say now is good night, everybody. This has been fabulous.
Thank you very much. Just as every young person gets a Social Security card, they should get a voter registration card at the same
Amen.
Time. God bless and good night.
Good night, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering.
Listening to the Black Coffee Show with your host, Black Coffee, and your co-host.